the vision I had as a wing player. Because, I mean, I was still, like, a pass-first type of wing player, but also I would score when I, you know, had my shots to take. But then moving to a point guard, still pass-first mentality, the court just changes. Like, how you make reads, it all changes. And so, I mean, first half of the conference, it was a struggle. You know, just making bad reads, not seeing the read quick enough. My number one thing when I asked coach, what do I need to do to be better for my team as a point guard? And he said, your turnovers. And so that's been the main thing I've been working on. And I can say our last game, I had zero turnovers. So he was very proud about that. And I was proud about that too.
Oh, that's big. That's big. Yes.
So, I mean, I would say like it was probably the hardest transition, but I mean, my teammates have confidence in me.
Welcome back to Sometimes I Hoop. Today, we've got a rookie hooper who made some noise all season long joining us on the pod today. Quick humble brag, McDonald's All-American, Big 12 Tournament MOP, Big 12 Freshman of the Year, and Co-Play of the Year, none other than Texas superstar point guard Madison Booker. Thanks for hopping on the pod.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, thank you. It is my pleasure. Presented by Wendy's. Before we jump into the tournament and March Madness, tell me, what is the song on repeat for you in the locker room right now as we head into the tournament?
It's Run Our Test.
Such a different vibe. Our last answer was Kirk Franklin in gospel, so a different vibe, but I like it. Let's jump into the landscape here. You guys are Big 12 champs, and you're a Big 12 championship MOP, which is like absurd for a freshman to do. So talk to me about how it was you guys had to come back against K-State, almost got you guys. What was that like then taking home the championship?
I mean, the whole tournament was tough. We had Kansas first round, K-State second round, and Iowa State to finish off the tournament. I mean, we just had fun the entire tournament. We competed. We got rewarded. I mean, ever since day one, since I stepped on campus, we've been working to win Big 12. I mean, plus it's our last year there. So it felt definitely sweet just to get one before we left and went to the SEC.
No, I mean, that's crazy that you guys are really going to the SEC next year. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. All the conference shifts and everything. You and Oklahoma are both going, right?
We are.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, how do you feel about switching conferences after your freshman year? You just kind of ran the table. Are you going to go do the same thing next year in a new conference? What are we doing?
Hey, it's one day at a time. I mean, I hope we do great over there. I think we will. I'm pretty sure we are.
That's the right answer. Way to be humble. Okay, so as a freshman, it's your first time experiencing Selection Sunday. Walk me through the moment you guys found out you were a number one seed, because that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's a lot of emotion. You know, going in, we kind of thought, you know, since we lost to OU twice during the regular season, we might have been two seed, probably like a tougher way to get to where we're trying to get. You know, going through, just seeing teams getting called out. I think what happened was we saw, like, Ohio State get two. And I think we just kind of knew it was us or Stanford.
Yeah.
The last one seed. And saw Texas for the one seed. And I think we all kind of got just, like, happy. Because, I mean, like, we've been through a lot of, like, adversity this season. Of course, as you know.
Yeah.
Our best point guard in the nation, I think, went down with, like, an ACL injury. So, I mean, just us getting rewarded makes us, like, still have confidence in ourselves.
For sure. I mean, you talked about the different struggles you guys had to go through. Roy's a big part of the team and just kind of, like, the whole Texas culture. Like, I played against her a few times, actually, and every time, like, she just continues to get better. So I'm excited to see how she does next year coming back. But before we get into that, let's talk about the tournament a little bit, the different brackets. You guys have a tough region. You have Stanford, Utah, Tennessee, NC State. Like, that's a tough corner. So how are you feeling about the region? Are there any matchups catching your eye? What are we thinking?
I mean, I don't think I really look deep into it. I mean, I feel like if you look far into it, you can kind of get out of the moment.
Yeah.
Just to really take one game, actually, like, each day at a time, because you don't know when's your last day. But, I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to playing Utah.
Yeah.
Actually, their post player.
Alyssa?
I like her game. Yeah, Alyssa, like.
Yeah, she's tough.
She's going to give folks a run for their money. She's good.
No, I couldn't agree more. Peely's she's a monster, honestly.
Yes.
But I think it'll be an interesting matchup with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, I mean, your region's kind of tough. And I know in my years at Stanford, Texas and Stanford, we played each other a few times. I think I played at show. We played at home. We played in the Elite Eight, I want to say, a few years ago. So I'm excited to see if you guys get another rematch, because that's always really fun to watch. But looking into some of the other corners of the bracket, I'm really interested by the one that's Iowa, LSU, and UCLA. That is the toughest region.
It is the toughest region.
I feel like there's so many different storylines. So is there a certain game that you want to see come out of that region?
I mean, I definitely want to see, I think, another Iowa and, like, LSU.
Yeah.
Definitely want to see how that's going to go.
There's the other one, South Carolina, and we talked about Oklahoma earlier. And I feel like Oklahoma didn't get that Big 12 tournament like they wanted. Same thing with Indiana and the Big 10. So having that matchup, I feel like could be really interesting as well.
Yeah, I think people kind of forget OU. OU's a great team. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we lost to them twice, so we know how good of a team they are. Beginning of the season, they kind of started out a little slow. And then conference, they picked it up a lot.
Yeah.
And they're really a good team. And that, like, they play South Carolina. They don't give South Carolina a run for their money. They might not have the biggest posts, but yeah. they're like a whole guard. But they run the court very well.
No, you're completely right. I feel like they do fall under the radar. Similar to kind of the Big 12 as a whole, honestly. I feel like you hear a lot about Pac-12, SEC, ACC, Big 10, but Big 12 been under the radar. But you guys have 7 teams in the tournament this year. So yes. Do you feel like, you know, you guys are going to gain some more respect for the conference, even though you're leaving this year? Do you feel like the Big 12 deserves more respect in terms of the talent that they have?
I think it does, honestly. Like, the teams that's in the tournament, they're very good. I mean, you got West Virginia, a good defensive team that might play like Iowa, which I think that's another great matchup. Just their defense with Iowa's offense, I think that's one to look out for. K-State. Mm-hmm. K-State is really good.
Yeah.
I like the way they play. Their big is unstoppable.
Seriously.
Lee is incredible. Mm-hmm. And their point guard, we call her Sunny D. Sundell, she's a great guard, very smart. Yeah. Iowa State,
they're gonna be good
in the Big 12.
I mean, I'm not only referring to her as Sunny D. Even though I've never met her, it's Sunny D from now on. Meet her, I'll be like, hey, what's up, Sunny D? We besties. thinking about the tournament, I want to get into the madness a little bit. And these next questions are brought to you by our lovely sponsor, Wendy's. So have there been any teams this year that have made you kind of do a double take and been like, they could really make some noise heading into the postseason? Because I know for me, I've seen some teams that haven't gotten as much love in the beginning, and then all of a sudden, 2 seeds, 3 seeds in this tournament right now.
I feel like a team that actually, like, might do a great run is Ohio State. Even though they're a 2 seed, I feel like people know they're good, but they don't know how good they are.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they're very good. Very underrated and kind of very quiet. Like, they're not always, like, on the headlines.
Yeah,
but
I
feel like they're going to do good in the tournament.
I see it, too, because they've had a lot of ups and downs. And so I feel like if they can peak at the right time, they'll be good. And I feel like another one for me, speaking from a Pac-12 bias, is Oregon State is tough. Like, they came out of nowhere this season.
Yeah, that surprised me a lot, actually, this year.
I'm excited to see them. And then more on an individual side, what players have really impressed you this season that you feel like are really going to make some noise in the tournament?
I feel like my whole freshman class.
Yeah, good answer.
My whole freshman class is going to do well in the tournament.
I mean, y'all been hooping all season. Like, half your freshman class got their respective conference tournaments MOPs, which is kind of crazy. Like, how was that happening? But I think it's just so exciting for not only your class, but just showing the talent that we have coming out of high school is huge. But you had your first season under your belt playing in the Big 12. And I feel like sometimes these neutral sites, especially at like the Big 12 tournament, now moving into March Madness, they don't always feel neutral the way that fans travel. So in your experience, what do you feel like is the craziest fan base?
Iowa State.
Oh, that was quick.
Iowa State.
That was quick. Okay, why Iowa State?
They just roll in deep. I mean, we was in Kansas City for Big 12, and we played them the last game. Everybody and their mama was there.
I love that. I would not have guessed Iowa State.
Their fans ride hard for them. Wow. K-State, too.
Okay,
Those two right there, that's a... If you win, like, in their home place...
Oh, it gets nasty.
It gets crazy.
Okay, yep, I got you. And then we talked a little bit about you know, the Big 12 kind of getting slept on. And I feel like with that, a lot of just like individual superstars don't get as much pub as we see in other conferences. And so you guys have a lot of talented players. Who has been the toughest guard, like the player that you guys had to circle on your scouting report every time you saw them?
Toughest guard.
Mm-hmm.
That's so I will give definitely credit to West Virginia guard JJ Quivley.
Really? Okay.
I don't think she gives enough like credit.
Okay.
Like for her defense, she won defensive player of our conference this year.
Yeah.
But her offense is, I mean, she probably, I think she scored like 30 like three times in our conference.
Okay. She's like that then. 30 yes. balls? Yeah, you're like that.
Yeah. She's good. She's good. We played them once, but very hard to deal with.
Okay. I'm going to need to keep my eye on her in the tournament because I honestly have not watched West Virginia as much as I should have. So I'm going to need to be looking out. But with the tournament being here, I want to give some players their flowers, like we've been doing a little bit heading the madness. And so I want you to give me a quick scouting report without giving away the Texas secret so that Vic doesn't get upset with you. Give me a quick scout of Peyton Volhurst on Oklahoma, who I feel like has really come into her own.
Yes. Oh, she's good.
Yeah, she's good.
She is good. Shoot, get her off the three-point line.
Yeah.
Get her off the three-point line. Don't let her face cut you, but, you know, also get her off the three-point line. She's very good. I mean, the second time we played, like, OU, we were up, and she comes down. Like, she comes out, what, second or third quarter. She had two step-back threes on us. I said, there's no way.
Uh-oh.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. Nah, she's good. Keep her off the three-point line, I would say. She gets hot very easily.
Yeah, I hate when you start a quarter like that, you know? And then they just get off and you're like, timeout, please.
Yeah.
Slow your roll. I don't need this right now. I don't. And then you mentioned her earlier, but Lee at Kansas State, she is so good. Like, her footwork at her size,
is
insane.
Good.
Yeah, so tell me about her.
Man, push her off the block. Try your hardest. Push her off the block. Don't let her get nothing easy. Don't let her get no easy layup. Push her off the block. Try your best.
So we got run her off the three-point line and one, push her off the block. Just
push her off the block.
Just get them out their spots, basically.
Get them away from their spots.
Okay, I love that. Well, before we jump into you and your basketball journey, I have a question of the day that I've been asking all the guests, which is a little bit out of left field, but I feel like it's going to tell me a lot about you. So what is the largest animal that you think you could beat in a fist fight?
In a fist fight?
Yes, like no weapons. It's you and the animal. In their terrain, by the way. It's like you can't say a shark and you're in the water, you know? It's in their terrain.
biggest animal.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you mine until you tell me yours.
I'm going kangaroo. I feel like I got
that. Are you kidding? You're going to box a kangaroo? Stop it.
Box a kangaroo.
You're
done.
Get
my gloves.
Yeah. No gloves. Straight up. We still going kangaroo?
I'm still going kangaroo.
Wow.
I'm not living that down.
Honestly, I saw Kangaroo Jack when I was 8, and I would not go against kangaroo because he was boxing crazy.
We finna both be hopping around.
All right, I like it. Mine's a giraffe. I feel like I could take out the knees and just kind of keep pushing from there. But I like kangaroo. I like kangaroo. Okay, so let's jump it back into your basketball roots for a minute. You're from Mississippi. Your dad is 6'10", so I feel like that already helps. But who first put the ball in your hands? How did you get into basketball?
My dad. I would say he came to my room one day and put a little plastic goal in my room, and I just started hooping ever since then.
Meant to be. So was he your coach growing up?
A little bit. I didn't like him being my coach.
Oh, I get that. You need those boundaries.
Yeah, I don't need to see him all day.
Yeah. Okay, I see it. Growing up, do you feel like there was a certain player that you watched and kind of modeled your game after?
So in my early years, I was a Boston Celtics fan. So I watched
me too.
Rajon Rondo. I used to wear the headband like him. I used to want to be a point guard like him.
Love it.
Point guard, you know, I kind of got too tall, so I had to move to the wing. So I wasn't a point guard. But I love this game. I had posters in my room of him growing up. And then kind of switched to, so I'm bigger, so I kind of went to more of Carmelo, Kevin Durant. I used to watch highlights of them all the time.
Those
the mid-range
are good.
Game.
Yeah. I love that. And I mean, you're still playing point guard now, so maybe we can throw the headband back on for a little throwback, you know, keep it going.
Maybe.
I would love to see it. But when did you, I feel like there's always a point in time growing up when you're kind of like, okay, you know, I love basketball, I'm playing whatnot, I want to play forever. But there's a point in time where you hit it like, I could really do something with this, you know? I could play college ball, I could go pro, play at a school like Texas. So when was that time for you when you realized like, wow, like I'm kind of getting better than everybody around me. Like I'm going to take this to the next level.
It was probably when I got my first offer. Okay. That was eighth grade. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's early. You
I was
knew.
Like, okay, I might actually be good at this.
Yeah. How was the exposure like in Mississippi? Like, was it playing on the best AAU team? Was it playing in a different city? How did you kind of get recruited?
So that's the thing. Mississippi really wasn't that big on, because, I mean, Mississippi is a football state.
Yeah.
So really, basketball wasn't getting no exposure. Really, like any other sport other than football wasn't getting that much exposure. Maybe baseball here and there. But for basketball, it really wasn't anything. I mean, a few players came out of Mississippi, and they had great careers in the league and the pros. So I didn't play, like, travel ball in Mississippi. I went kind of out of state to get my exposure. Mm-hmm. So in seventh grade, I played for a Nike team, the Alabama Southern Stars. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, from there on, I stayed with them, and they've been treating me right ever since.
Oh, I love that. I feel like it's so much fun to stay with a team for that long because, yeah. like, those girls become your best friends, you know? Yeah. And so you really get to see, like, that top talent, and you know everybody. And now that you're in college, you still know all the top talent around you. Yeah. And so talking about your freshman class like we did earlier, do you remember playing any of them in travel ball or in high school and that now you're still competing against them at the same level now?
We didn't play. Okay, because a lot of people in my class, they played up. Like, they always played up, and I always played my grade because I was like, if I'm not dominating my, like, in my class, I'm not going to play up, so I'm going to just stay. And plus, I mean, it's not like I wasn't getting better or I wasn't getting, like, exposure. I was still getting the same exposure.
Yeah.
I was just like, I'm going to stay in my class, but I never really played against people in my freshman class now. Mm-hmm. I just remember, like, going to camp, seeing them. Like, yeah. I was at Blue Star Camp in Juju, eighth grade.
Yeah.
Maybe, I think. And she was good then, and look at her now, still thriving, still the best player
yeah.
in our class.
Well, no, I mean, that's I always think that's so cool, because, like, going to USA basketball camps, doing all these different things, and you get to know these people, and then you see them thriving, and it's like, not only can you be a fan of them, but you're also their peers, right? And yeah. so I know I had that relationship with people like Jordan Horston, Zaya Cook, Leah Boston, and then now, when we're still on the big stages, like, you can still have that person you can confide in because they're going through the same things. I feel like that's always been so special. But talking about your recruiting, what made you want to choose Texas? What was it about Texas that was like, yeah, that's for me?
So, I mean, I always tell people I go back to, like, Coach Schaefer, he recruited me since I was in eighth grade. And I kind of fall back on what he did in Mississippi State. Like, mm-hmm. I knew he knew how to win. He did it before. He definitely had a player like me before, and like Victoria Vivian's at Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. Like we had a great relationship all them years, and so I trusted him that he could help me be the best player I can be.
I love that. I mean, I feel like seeing Vic's journey from Mississippi State to Texas is so cool. Cause like when they beat UConn in the Final Four a few years ago with Morgan and Victoria and all that, that was like a shift in women's basketball.
It
of
was.
Like, it's not one team anymore. And so tell me what it's like playing for a coach like him, because I've been on the other side. He is intense. It's a lot. So, like, what is it like playing for somebody who's that passionate and that hyped up and all these different things?
Every day, he's very intense.
Yeah.
You know, our practices are very intense. I think people don't understand that. I feel like... Because, like, I talk to, like, other players, of course.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, practice is kind of slight today. I'm like, dang.
Huh?
I'm like, dang, I wish I was you.
Yeah.
You know, it's always, our practices are always defense, really. Mm-hmm. Defense, defense, defense. And, you know, I'm not going to say I just hate defense. I love like, offense a little too much.
You're but, like, so can we get a balance? Like, let's get some shots up.
It's a balance here and there. But, yeah. I mean, I also kind of came to Texas. Mm-hmm. For him, but also because I wanted to, like, get better on defense. So a very intense coach. He's very passionate about the game. I love it. He loves the game. Yeah, he's a one-of-a-kind guy. I can say that.
I love that. I love hearing that, like, what we see what from the outside on TV, on the court, you get that every day. And I love that it's the same energy every day. Texas as a whole right now, you guys are kind of like an up-and-coming young team with Rory, Aaliyah, Deanna Gaston, Shaylee Gonzalez kind of being that veteran presence for you guys. But having all these different young pieces, new pieces, all you guys coming together, what were those first practices like in the summer?
First practices. I'm trying to remember. I feel like a long, long time ago.
You may have blocked it out.
I probably did block it out.
I know my first practices, I blocked those things out. I didn't, mm-mm.
I mean, shoot. It was more kind of like one-on-one workouts, really.
Yeah.
Until we started our kind of group, it was very intense. Everybody talking, you know, leaders on the court. Definitely you have Rory being a leader, Shaylee being a leader, Shay Holly. Like Amo on the sideline still recovering from an injury. So, I mean, really, when I got to campus, I was really looking up to them people.
Yeah.
Just listening, really just taking advice. But I think one of the first things they told me was, make sure you run to every drill.
Oh, yeah. You learned that quick.
Make sure you run to every drill.
Yeah.
And also, it was great. I liked it, definitely, because I saw, because like in like high school, you know, you don't see people like putting up extra work. Mm-hmm. But I got here and you see them getting 45 minutes before a practice, just getting up shots. And I never seen that before. And when I came, I was like, oh, y'all do this?
Oh,
and it was like, yeah. And I was, you know, and then like everybody else doing it. Like, so we all just like putting up extra, like, just like doing extra work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just that environment right there was just cool to be in.
Yeah, I feel like I couldn't agree more. Like, college has all those different intricate things that are so different from high school, whether it be, you know, running from drill to drill. I know a thing at Stanford was like, water breaks are 20 seconds. Like, if you get one, it's over there, sip, and you're back on the court. Like, it's all those little things. Y'all don't, the water breaks are, like, nowhere to be found.
There's no water breaks. No. if you're like, tired, you can sip out a drill and maybe get some water real quick.
Yeah. I get subbed for a drill, I'm running to my water because I'm not going to get that again. It's the one and done situation. But you came into college a small forward, as we talked about, you know, being a bigger guard. But now you're playing strictly PG for the most part. So what has that shift been like for you? I mean, it seems like it's gone well. Is it as seamless? Is it as seamless as a transition as you make it seem to be? Or what was that like?
It was hard. I would say just really just a PG role is hard in general. Like, you have the ball in your hands most of the game. You're making decisions all the time. You're handling the ball all the time. You're handling pressure. You're breaking presses. Like, you're doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
And you still got to run a team.
Yes.
And, shoot, that was probably the hardest thing.
Yeah.
And just also, like, the vision I had as a wing player. Because, I mean, I was still, like, a pass first type of wing player, but also I would score when I, you know, had my shots to take. But then moving to a point guard, still pass first mentality, like the court just changes. Like the how you view the court, how you make reads, it all changes. And so, I mean, it was a struggle. First half of the conference, it was a struggle. Turning the ball over, you know, just making bad reads, not seeing the read quick enough. Like I'll get yelled at. But, I mean, I took it as a learning moment. And, like, after every game, I'm going to film, like, seeing what I did wrong, what I can do better just to help me out. And, I mean, my number one thing when I asked Coach, what do I need to do to be better for my team as a point guard? And he said, I need you to have limit on, like, basically your turnovers. And so that's been the main thing I've been working on. And I can say our last game I had zero turnovers, so he was very proud about that, and I was proud about that, too.
Oh, that's big. That's big. Yes.
So, I mean, I would say, like, it was probably the hardest transition, but, I mean, my teammates had confidence in me. I didn't even have that. My coaching staff did, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just getting very, like, overwhelmed at it, but just taking it all in, just taking one day at a time, and also wanting to grow in that aspect, I think it helped me become the player I am today.
Well, I mean, I feel like we've from the outside been able to see that growth that you've had. Like, it's hard. To be a point guard in general is hard, but like freshman year point guard, transitioning from being a wing to a point guard, it's a lot going on. And I think what you said about the vision from a wing to a point guard, and also just like you have to take yourself out of just playing one position. Yes. When you're the point guard, not only I think the biggest thing for me is like, oh my gosh, I'm the one who has to call the plays. Like, I'm up here dribbling, thinking in my head, and I'm like,
a play, and you can't think of one quick enough.
And then everybody's looking at you, and I'm like, horns, I don't know. And it's so stressful up there, and they have to be loud, and it's like understanding what actions your teammates like to play off of, you know? Shaylee may not like the same thing as Shay, or Aaliyah may like it on a different block than Deanna. Like, there's a lot of different things going on.
You know what? I go to this, just that one right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So tell me about how you... And watching film is hard, let me tell you. Like, watching a turnover. I'm like, that's not me out there. Who threw that turnover?
I'll tell them that's a different person.
Yeah, I don't know who that Haley was. Like, I don't know. But how has it been for you being able to watch film, learn from your mistakes, but also, like, learn about your teammates and what they want? Because that's really what, like, sets apart a great point guard, you know, is understanding how to get your teammate in the best shots.
I mean, it's all about the communication. I think that's top one. And also, you know, going through practices, just going through different things with them, going through different, like, plays with them, seeing what they like more, see what how they play on each, like, set we run. Just me looking at that. And also, I mean, like, going back during film, just seeing, like, how the defense was playing, like, what I could have called differently, a pass I could have made differently. Like, it's just little stuff like that. But I think the main thing is communication, just seeing what they like, how they feel.
I agree. Film really helps. Like, I hate watching it sometimes because I'm like, disgusting, Haley. What was that?
It was
bad. Talking about film, I know I had many film horror stories, both at Stanford and in Atlanta. Did you have, like, you know, a welcome to college ball moment or like a film horror story from your freshman year so far?
Oh, no.
Ooh. Maybe it's just a me thing, because I remember my freshman year, I threw out like 6 turnovers in a game.
Oh, what
about we watched all 6 in front of everybody. It's like, oh, awesome. Yeah.
No, so we played at West Virginia this year, and I had a double-double.
Okay.
I could have had almost a quadruple.
Yeah, quadruple-double.
Like, yeah, I had, like, double digits in points. I had 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
I had, like, 7 assists, and I think I had 8 turnovers.
Oh, that'll do it.
You know, I always, like, watch film by myself with, like, one of my coaches.
Yeah.
And I watch all turnovers.
Yeah.
Everyone.
It's so humbling.
She played them twice. She did them twice.
Yes.
And she was like, what is this?
Yes.
And so, you know, I was like, that's not me. It won't happen ever again.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, you know, we go to the film room. I'm thinking, like, we're not going to watch them again. We watch them again.
Mm-hmm.
And again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, coach, I'm sorry. This is a lot of turnovers.
Yes, yes. I remember it was always so bad when they ask you, what were you thinking? And I was like, well, I thought it was going to work out. I did not. You know, coach, I apologize because, like, that wasn't my intention.
I didn't think I was going to turn the ball over then, but
for sure.
It happened.
And you know what I tell them? What I want to say, what I don't actually say is I'm like, you know, guys, next play mentality. Let's leave it in the past. Let's move forward, honestly.
Definitely.
But your freshman season, I feel like you had a huge breakout game. I watched it firsthand. 20 points against UConn, which was huge. Do you feel like something changed for you in that game moving into the rest of the season, like a confidence boost? What was that game for you like?
Well, like, beginning of the season, I think I probably was the best after Rory. I would say she was a better scorer than I was, just because she had experience on me. Mm-hmm. But I was probably, like, one of the better scorers on the team that can get my own shot.
Yeah.
And so beginning of the season was kind of trouble for me to make shots. But, like, there were good shots. I take them, I make them in practice. But, like, in a game, it was different. Like, they wasn't falling. So I think kind of leading up to the UConn game, I started, like, trusting the process, trusting what my coaches want me to shoot. And that UConn game was just a prime example. Like, I really wasn't rushing shots. I took the shots that came within the offense. And so, I mean, they fell. They fell through the hoop.
Okay, so we talked a little about your teammates earlier. You got Shaylee Gonzalez and Aaliyah Moore, both 2,000-point scorers, which is insane to have 2 on one team, but also great team players. So talk to me a little bit about what those 2 bring to the team.
Shaylee Gonzalez, I'll start. She's like the grandma of our team. She's a 6-year senior. When I'm on the court with her, she brings a sense of calmness. I mean, she has a lot of experience on me. I'm a freshman, like, handling the team. So, like, in late-game situations, if a game's close, she definitely, like, helps me just slow down. And sometimes she'll help me with the ball. That helps a lot. She's a great scorer. She's a great leader. She might not talk a lot, but she leads through her actions. Amo, she's like a big sister, definitely. Very vocal. She's different from Shaylee. Vocal on court, mm-hmm. always talking. She's definitely like our team's energy. Like, she brings yeah. all the energy. After and one, she has the most energy. Mm-hmm. Just like celebrating. I mean, two different people, but great leaders in their own role.
Well, I've seen it firsthand. Amo be bringing all she the do. Energy. Oh my she God. She be hyping y'all up. Okay. And I'm on the other team, I'm like, whoa, whoa, pipe down. Don't get them, don't get them brought up. We don't need this right now. But I feel like you guys have so many different pieces that you talked about. But losing a big one in Rory back in December, talk to me about what that, because I feel like seeing her still on the screen, seeing her through social media, she still seems so engaged. And so what is it like to have somebody who is that crucial to the team still be so engaged on the sideline, becoming another coach? I see her with her whiteboard during every game. She's locked in. What has that been like for you to be able to learn from her?
I mean, yeah, she's been in my ear, just helping me also with the role, this PG mm-hmm. role. I mean, great advice. She sees the court tremendously well. I think that's also how I've kind of grown to being a better point guard. Mm-hmm. Not the best, but a little better. Not
We're
like
on
her.
Our way. You're doing great.
You know, she just, you know, she's always in practice. She's talking. She's telling us, you know, we have this new thing where you get 3 stops in a row. It's a kill. You know, we try to get 7 kills. And so she kind of came up with that theory just to help us be more basically like defensively, like engaged on defense. So, I mean, she's always talking. She's always there. She always bringing energy. She's always hyping us up. You know, she's basically like coach's second voice. You know, when we have a question, we go to her. She's like the second person we'll go to. Is Coach Jeffrey than her. I mean, she's basically him, just yeah. in a smaller person, smaller voice. But yeah, she's definitely engaged, happy just to have her, just like just basically a smile on her face.
Yeah. So back to you and your style of play, what do you feel like has been the biggest area of growth that you've seen in your game from the beginning of the season to now?
Just finding my spot on the ground, like on the floor. Yeah, I think yeah. I found my spot.
I can see that. You have a lot of spots, girlfriend. Let me tell you. It's not just one. You have a lot of spots
it's
on the court.
It's one I love very much.
Okay. Well, talk to us about you being a 3-level scoring threat and how you're able to still get to your spots. And, like, you becoming who you have been in the Big 12, being co-player of the year, being freshman of the year, all these different things. Scouts throw different things at you every game. I'm sure you see it night in, night out. They're playing on-ball screens differently, all these different things. So how do you feel like you've been able to adjust to whatever any team throws at you, having different defenders on you, whether they throw somebody bigger, smaller, and still being able to get to your spots, and you do it at a very efficient rate?
I think that just comes with the part of me being a very poised person. I don't really mm-hmm. – I mean, I see things thrown at me, and I'm like, okay, that happened. We'll get through it. It's basically like that. I don't really try to get too fast. Like, I know my game. Like, my game, like, it's not going to be all fast, all shifty. It's very, very vanilla. It's very...
fundamental.
It's very fundamental, like vanilla, it. You know. I'm going to try to get through this screen. You're going to still be right there. If you're right there, I'm going to pull up. I mean, like, if you're shorter than me, I'm taking one dribble pull up. Yeah. Kind of taller than me, I might go to the rim. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just really just taking it one position at a time. Like, I know things are going to be thrown at me just to stop me, but just staying poised throughout it all.
Wow, you are so wise, so young and so wise, Madison, truly. But talking about those different reads that you're making, you know, coming off an on-ball screen, knowing who your defender is and what advantages that you have, being both big guards as we are, what do you feel like are some of the pros and cons that you see from being a big guard? I feel like there's definitely more pros than cons, but sometimes when I have like, somebody tiny picking me up full court, back up.
Yes.
That is so annoying. Yes. Why are you doing that? So talk to me. What are the pros and cons?
Con is just little guards picking me up. Yeah. First game, yeah. being point guard, played Baylor. Mm-hmm. Jada, their point guard. Oof. It's like
she's tough.
5'6", I think, picked me up full yeah. court. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way. There's no
Somebody
way.
Somebody come get the ball. Please. That's what I would be thinking. Please.
Please come get the ball. I was saying pros are, you know, I just like basically shoot over people. I'm 6'1".
Yeah. Like shoot mismatches.
Everywhere. You know, you're like a bigger person guarding me. You know, you're a forward maybe. Oh, this matchup I want right here. And be a low guard. I'm going to post you up. Mm-hmm. Another con? I don't think there's...
That's probably the only one,
for real.
And it's a... Yeah, I agree. I feel like there's so many pros with the mismatches or just being able to run different reads. No matter what your matchup is, there is an advantage that you have. But I agree. I had Dana Evans picking me up this year. Ma'am, I don't need this extra stress in my life. Like, I really don't. And people want to run away as soon as they see you with that. And it's like, why are you being selfish? You see me. I thought we were cool. Like, what is this about?
And they be the quickest guards that be under your knees, just swimming at the ball.
Yes. Just annoying, honestly. Ugh. So, I don't need that in my life. But we talked about you kind of having this, like, finesse on offense, right? Fundamental rather than vanilla. But when did you learn or kind of gain that ability to slow the game down and let it come to you? Because I think a lot of times people get so sped up, especially as a freshman, playing in a new league. Big 12 is great defensively. How are you able to, you know, slow your game down, not get rushed, stay so, just like we talked about, you being so wise, so mature. Where does that come from?
I mean, honestly, it's my personality. Like, I'm really just a neutral person. Like, I really don't get too high about things, get too low about things. You know, people say I'm awkward when, like basically getting rewards. But it's just like, thank you for the award. But it's like, next thing on. Like,
thanks.
Okay, thank you. And it's like, okay. But, I mean, it's just kind of been to me since I was young. And I kind of, like, put that to my game. It's been a chill, just relax. We got this.
It's just you. Okay, I like that. So Kevin Durant, you're also wearing 35 at Texas. He's an active Texas alum. Have you had a chance to interact with him? Because I know he said you're going to have 35 retired on the women's side. What do we feel about that? You're a KD fan. How are we feeling?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I saw it. Like I said,
one day at a time.
One day at a time. I'm a neutral person. It's my first year.
Not going to give me any sound bites, Madison. Goodness.
It's my first year. I mean,
okay,
it's going well. I have three more left. We'll see at the end of my senior year or later in life.
You're just scratching the surface, which is crazy to think, but it's also so exciting. But it's our first postseason. You're heading into March Madness, number one seed. What's the mindset of both you, but also the locker room heading into the tournament? Because it seems like you guys are peaking at the right time. You're just coming off the Big 12 tournament win. So what is it, you know, what's the mindset? What are the vibes heading into first weekend of March Madness right now?
Well, I mean, we know that we have Texas cross our chest. We're going to the SEC. We just won Big 12. We are now one seed now. We know it's a lot of pressure. Now everybody want to beat you. You're one seed. We know that people think that we shouldn't be at one seed. So that's in our minds. Like, we have to prove them wrong. But I just think what we're thinking about is we have to be hot. In a Big 12 tournament, we were hot. And I think we just stay hot, take it one day at a time, and just stay poised, like me. We'll be just fine.
Like me. Just,
yes, I am the most poised on my team, I think.
Like me, I love that. Because you're talking about, you know, you got Leah getting hyped up, all these different people, you're level-headed. And that's what every team needs, is that person. Wow, I'm weak. Okay, so back into it. We talked about the success. Coming off a big 12 game, you guys were hot. And, you know, I feel like you guys do have a little bit of a target on your back, right?
Yeah.
Big 12, you're a number one seed. What does it feel like? Last year, you're at home, you're a high school senior, you're watching the tournament, right? But now you're in it.
Yeah.
Which is insane, because I know for me, my first March Madness, it's like, oh my God, like, this is happening. How are you able, and don't say it's just who I am, give me something new, but how are you able to, like, stay where your feet are? Because I know for me, as you get into the tournament, if you guys make a Final Four run, like, it's hard not to get caught up in all the noise. There's extra media that you're doing. You're traveling. You're doing all these different things. What are you guys, maybe you individually or as a program, what are you guys doing to, like, stay where your feet are?
I mean, basically just right now, I mean, we're taking our first opponent seriously. Like, I mean, we know they're a 16 seed, but it's anybody game. Like, anybody can win. Like, this is like anybody's ball game. Everybody who's in this tournament are here, is basically like here for a reason.
You don't want to be that upset.
To roll to the Final Four. You don't. We don't want to be upset at all. So, I mean, really just knowing that today could be our last practice, tomorrow could be our last game. That's the fact you have to take.
I like it. I appreciate the new answer. A little twist on it. I really do, because I know you wanted to say, it's just me, Haley. I'm just so wise at my young age. Yeah. Okay, well, before we get into our vibe check, which is going to be rapid-fire answers, which I feel like you're going to be great at, is I just want to give you some flowers. We talked about a lot of other players, but I personally have been very impressed with you this year. And I was a fan seeing you on all your highlights in high school and all these different things. But, like, once you get to college to show that you can still be doing that, I feel like a lot of freshmen this year are getting a lot of hype on social media. And you've kind of been flying under the radar. But I've been witnessing it. Me and my friends, we've been talking about it. Your three-level score, stepping into playing a point guard in such a tough conference and doing it with the grace that you have been and just seeing your continued growth is very exciting. So I just wanted to tell you that as I have my time to talk to you right now. And I know you're horrible at taking compliments. So
Thank you. Just
smile. Thank you. Yes. So getting into our vibe check to rapid fire answers, you're going to do great. Some people aren't so great, but I have a belief in you. So
they would do well.
Yeah. So what's the drill you never want to see on the practice plan?
We have this drill called deepest on the floor for 3 minutes.
Ooh.
Straight defense on the floor for 3 minutes. Hate it.
Yeah. No, okay. Next one. Game-winning shot or game-winning block?
I'm game-winning shot.
For sure. Okay. And one or three-pointer?
And one.
Yeah. Group TikTok, solo TikTok?
Group.
Biggest trash talker? It could be on your team or anybody that you ever played.
Aaliyah Moore.
Oh, okay. Like it. Who's the biggest flopper?
That's hard.
Uh-oh.
That's actually hard. Biggest flopper.
I've stumped you for the first time today.
I go, like, we have one on our team. I'll say Shaylin Gonzalez.
Oh, really? Dang. Okay. What's your biggest basketball ick?
People who wear short sock, like angle socks with their basketball shoes, bro. Get some longer socks.
Oh, wow. Yeah, calling out everybody who wears short socks. All right. Who would you want to be your 2-on-2 teammate, but you can't pick one of your current Texas teammates?
Me and Hannah Hidalgo.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. Okay. What's your best impersonation of Coach Vic Schaefer?
That ain't it.
The way you got a Southern twang out of nowhere is insane, but I like it. Okay. Madison, you have been such a pleasure to have on today. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned for another episode of Sometimes I Hoop as the tournament unfolds.
ThePlayersTribune.com.